I anticipate tonight will be probably different than what we've had so far, but that's okay. Because the words that I heard on my way in was, many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. And I had flashbacks. I had several flashbacks. They were flashbacks of grace. Can't help but having some of them because I was there for many years. And I'm not trying to be critical of those days. I'm trying to evaluate God's way. In that time that I was there, God showed me the intensity of the miracles that he was able to perform. People were totally transformed. And yet, went right back to their old lifestyle. I remember one particular individual who had had 4 back surgeries. When the x-rays were done after the healing service, even the scar tissue was gone. He had the x-rays to prove it. This gentleman promised to live for God, but didn't do that well. And I can remember when he fell away, and he sought the Lord, but couldn't make the decision to go higher. And he was one of many. And I'm not just talking about men, I'm talking about ladies as well. Transformation, intense transformation. Awesome, miraculous expectations that had come into their hearts. God had fulfilled their expectations, and yet the fruit were not in very many. The fruit was scarce. And I think what I believe is that the Holy Spirit was trying to remind me, many are called, few are chosen. And it's the reason why he is now doing a different work. And I said to the Lord, because I'm questioning after these flashbacks, Lord, if you had awesome miracles, this place would be full tomorrow. Because they would come, because they're nosy for the bread and the gifts. Not for him. See, I saw a church full of people hungry to satisfy self. Not a church full of lovers of the Most High. That's what I saw. How do I work with that? No different than our Savior did. He fed 5,000 plus women and children. He fed 3,000 plus women and children. The whole region was transformed, and they all came for what? They wanted to touch so they could be healed. Is there anything wrong with that? It's what you do afterwards that counts. It's what you become after you're healed that really makes the difference. What is it that he's doing today? I read to my grandson this morning about what's happening in Florida and the miracles and the awesome signs and wonders that are being produced, and it's attracting people to fly out to Florida from all different parts of the world. I remember going to Pensacola. I remember going to Toronto. I remember going to Grace Church on Friday night looking for a healing. I'm not crabbing. You understand? I'm saying. I remember all those things. I remember the flood of phone calls when the miracle would happen. Now, how many people were transformed because one person got delivered? The whole family was shattered and changed. The lifestyle sometimes was changed for a few weeks. Did you hear me? For a few weeks. And they were gung-ho to come back to church, and all of a sudden, it went down and down and down. Am I right or wrong? Okay? Now, I'm pointing to Pastor Yvonne because she's tasted of what I'm talking about. What's the picture that you and I are looking to complete now? I handed out some lambs to three of the ladies. And when you look at Jesus and we examine him, what do we see? We see perfection, and we don't believe we can be like him. Yet we actually believe, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, take over my life, be the Lord, and then give me what I want, and I will be. I will be what? I'll be then for the moment. I'll be yours for then. And as soon as it doesn't go my way, what's happened? Well, I thought I wanted you, Lord, but. Amen? Doug pressed your buttons, reminding you that the third day is the day that he will perfect his saints. How many days in our God's years does it take to take one day? One day is as a 1,000 years. Is he going to take another 1,000 years before he perfects his saints? And he perfects the world? Good. I remember going to Gino one night. After the service, we had sometimes a few minutes in the office because things were happening, and he had preached on things that were popular. And it was a good message. And I'm not trying to be critical now. And I said to him, Pastor, what about all this stuff about being taken out of the world when all of hell breaks loose on the earth? What do you really believe? I said, do you believe that that is going to happen? He says, I believe it for me, but he says, I don't think it's going to be like what Christianity advertises. I said, well, that's good, because I have a problem with it too. And then, more and more, the Holy Spirit began to change me and to show me. And I remember his last words as I left that office that night. He says, Kim, he says, I can tell you that when I was ordained in the chapel, at Pinecrest, there's a huge sign. It takes 3-4 feet on the wall, and it says, occupy till I come. I smile and I say, yes. Yes. What does that mean? Take hold of who you are right now and stop worrying about all these factions and all these ideas that are being advertised all over the earth, because you know what? They could be all wrong. Occupy till Jesus comes. Now, when is he coming? And some of us, he's already come. He's alive in me now. So when's the second coming? In us. How much of me and how much of him is in me? I gave you three girls, each a lamb. Could I borrow you for a minute? Could you just lift up your lamb in the air so everybody can see the size of the lamb? Three different sizes, right? Three different ladies. Many are called, few are chosen. Now this one has quite a bit more lamb developed. The one in the back, I'm told, has a sore foot. Okay? So she puts something on his boo-boo. And this one, she parked him next to the heat. I presume it's because you want him to keep warm. How much of the lamb is important? Not important, as long as he's in there. Amen? And he's growing. How much does he have an opportunity to use you and me? Can he use me at that level? Can he use me when I'm a little bigger and I got a sore boo-boo? Yes. Can he use me when I'm a little more floppy? Because this one is super relaxed. He can't even stand up. But he's still usable. And I said, Lord, what are you getting at? He says, let me use you even when you're worn out and you can't stand up. Let me use you. Even when you got a boo-boo. Use me even if you think I'm very tiny. I can still do a lot of work through you, even if I'm little and tiny. And by the way, when he was given to me, he was given to me in a pail. And I took him home and I said, Lord, how come he's in a pail? And I heard lunch pail. That's what I heard. Now, I can't tell you who's guilty of that stuff because that's not important. What's important is God was using little tiny things in my life to awaken in me all the way down the line to transform me from what I was to what I needed to become. Did I enjoy the ride? No. Some of it was very, very sweet, but some of it was very lumpy and bumpy. And I can really tell you that I'm really blessed that we are a people with more of the Lamb in us today than we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago. So what am I saying to us? I'm saying that as this feast progresses and more of the Lamb is formed in us, more of Him is going to be produced in others as we share what we have of Him. That broken bread, that poured out wine that you are, will touch many lives. Will it affect how you act and react? Yes. Will you always do it right? No. Will you get upset with yourself? Yes. Will you get upset with others? Yes. What do? You repent quickly. Now, there was a discussion at the beginning of this meeting tonight about the book of Revelation. And I met Van Tanner. He ministered at our church several times. He's an anointed teacher, anointed, blessed man of God. And he received a word from God that transformed his life from religious to practical. And the word that was given to him was that the book of Revelations would be explained by the balance of the book. In other words, if you want to understand the last chapter of the last verse of the last book, we need to know the other. And it's a symbolic book. It's a spiritual book. And one of the great transformations that for me was an impact is on the very first page, the first chapter, where it says that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not about down the road. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you'll go to Revelations 1, I'd like to read it to you. And I will use the Amplified because I think it has a little greater clarity. Right at the very beginning, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his unveiling of the divine mysteries. God gave it to him to disclose and make known of to his bondservants certain things which must shortly and speedily come to pass in their entirety. And he sent and communicated it through his angel messenger to his bondservant John. Now, if you don't go any further than that, what do you understand of what about you to read? It's something that's happening in the now. The now for them and for John was 2,000 years ago. Amen? So that's meaning that Jesus Christ is being revealed for 2,000 years progressively. So the entire book is talking about him. Him and a people. Him and you and me. I could say to you, in all teasing, that the beginning of the revelation of Jesus Christ might be like that little tiny baby. That baby lamb. Just a little bit of him inside his people in the book of Acts. Yes? 1,500 years later, or 1,000 years later, a little bit more of him is seen in the world, but he might have a boo-boo on his leg. And you were kind enough to give him a little Band-Aid, huh? All right. Later on, 2,000 years later, he's still in submission, isn't he? He's grown some. He's grown because we've got more revelation. And one of those truths is that we're knowing him more and deeper. And my brother last night did an awesome job about declaring that we have so many more tools to learn about him, to educate about what he did for us, and what he's doing in us, and what he's doing through us. What was the title of your message, my friend? So are we a church without excuse? Yeah, we're part of that generation. We have so many awesome tools. Do we use them? Will we use them? How many confer to their brother or sister how much of Jesus is developing in them? Yeah. You say it every time you have a miracle. I had an awesome miracle this week. In fact, I watched my grandson this afternoon for the first time in over a year with a smile on his face. Now, he's 25 years old. He can't walk. He's gone to the doctors to try to get some more pain medicine because his doctor thinks that there's nothing wrong with him, yet the specialist in Worcester says there's 20 more years minimum before he can have a hip replacement. A lady next door that he was living in, the house, the apartment, that he had to move out of beginning of this month, she was a nurse taking care of an elderly lady. And she's been taking care of this lady for many years. From what I understand, it's over 10, probably more. This lady passed away this past week. Her family said, "Do you have any idea who would be able to use what we purchased for her that is still at the nursing home because it has to be removed?" How many know that you have to take things out as soon as something happens? Last night, my grandson was the recipient of a scooter that he can ride around the neighborhood with his little girl in his arms like a little child. And I was kind of weeping inside, watching him ride around the backyard, and I reminded myself of when he was 3 and a half and we bought him a little Jeep 4x4. And it just reminded me how much joy my wife and I had of watching him play. And he was playing again for the first time in over a year. You know, the second bonus was he couldn't get up out of the rocker that I have in my office downstairs. Tuesday morning, he had to sit to put his shoe on because he had to go somewhere with his wife and the baby. And he sat in the chair, and I'm going to demonstrate, put his shoes on, and I'm on the phone with somebody, and I'm behind my desk, and he pushed himself, and he got to this point, and he can't move. He cannot move. I know he can't move. And I heard the Lord say, "Go over, help him." So I grabbed him under the arm boosted him up so that he could make it the rest of the way. And of course, he has no money because he's been denied disability because they're still arguing, and Uncle Sam is kind of slow, but it's okay. The second bonus was a chair that's less than 6 months old that lifts you up so you can get out of the sitting position by yourself. Electric. It's awesome. Why do we work? So he and I sat down this morning and we were talking about Jesus. We were talking about how God is taking care of him in his disability. His disability is physical. It's also mental torment. Amen? What am I saying to you? If he can do that gift to this little boy, because inside he's still a little boy. At 25, I was still a little boy. Some of you are 50 and 60, and you're still little kids. And wrapping up the foot of a lamb with a concern about his boo-boo. Be children. Be childlike in receiving the reality that you have Jesus constantly revealing himself more and more to you. Constantly expounding how alive he is in you. Will you have a nosedive? Yes. I spoke to a lady today, and she was having a hard time. And we discussed about how you lay down on the grill, and when you get well done on one side, which is what we learned, you roll over. And I reminded her I have a very good spatula. And if it was time for her to roll over, I would bring her the spatula, and she could roll over and get well done on the other side. Why? Because she realized she's not completely dead in her flesh yet. Yoo-hoo. Are you dead in your flesh? I'm not. But you know what? I'm better than I was. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're still here and you're better than you were. More of Jesus is in me today than there was yesterday. And there's even going to be more tomorrow. Because I am of the chosen generation. And I'm not wasting these gifts. I might waste a few moments here and there, but I'm not wasting these gifts. Amen? What is the feast for? For you to discover more of the Lamb in you. To discover that he's inside, begging to be released. Did you ever hear him say, do it my way? When you're about to do it your way? Did you ever hear him say, wait? Don't do that. Did you ever hear him say, don't go there? Because you're going to step into some doo-doo? Are you with me? I've done that, but not you guys. But get a load of truth. Jesus is consistently revealing himself in a body. The connections between us are important. Connections in the body of Christ and in the churches of the Lord. Churches of the Lord. Churches of the Lord. None of them are exempt from realizing how much more of him there is available. And as we trust him to develop more and more of him in us, we'll understand the purposes of the feast. We'll understand the purposes of Pentecost in a few weeks, which is going to develop us into another level. And then, of course, by the fall, the harvest. And one of the nice pieces of truth that my brother gave us out was that the fruit harvest is what grows on the trees and in the ground. Yes? When do you get your potatoes? Late fall. When do you get your apples? Late fall. Amen? When do you get the rest of your fruit, especially in this area, and no different than Israel? And he was the king of Israel. He was the king of the Jews, the king of the praisers, the king of the worshipers. Is he king of your life? I pray he is. And if he's not, ask him to become. Ask him to develop you more and more in his ways so that he can manifest himself through you to touch others. And you'll understand that what he's really after is for us to occupy until he becomes totally in control of us. That's the goal, to be totally in control of you and me. John the Baptist had a very awesome word. Less of me, more of him. He was what? He was endowed with the spirit of Elijah. Yes? Jesus says, this spirit of Elijah is in John the Baptist. How can that be? How many know that the demoniac has some spirits in him? What did they manifest? Lawlessness? Screaming and yelling? Insanity? What did John the Baptist manifest? A man with truth and an announcement. Get ready. The Lamb of God is here. Get ready. The Lamb of God is here. Okay, close your eyes right now. I want you to put your right hand over your heart. Say, I'm ready. For the Lamb of God is here. I'm telling you, let me get ready. The Lamb of God is in me. Maybe he's got a little sore foot. Maybe he's a little bit tiny. Maybe he's a little tired and shaky. Maybe he can't stand up right now. But he's in me. The Lamb of God is here now. He's alive and well. He's doing a work in a body of people, transforming us, resurrecting us, and sometimes allowing us to be well done. So the meat falls off the bones, and all that's left is Jesus in him, Jesus in her, Jesus in them, and Jesus in me, the hope of glory. That brings up the last and final part of what I want to tell you about. Somebody said last night about the word glory. And if you recall, I shared with you a few weeks ago when a young man went home to be with Jesus at 61 years old. And he happened to be a tool from God's hand to write me a letter. I shared that letter with you. And Donald was a gift to me because he awakened in me the reality that Jesus was alive in me. That was the tool that was beginning to gel in me. That I really could claim to have Jesus inside of me. And that he was more than able to take me up on a mountain and transform me like he was transformed in front of Peter, James, and John. He is the next level of what? The harvest. The harvest of souls that he's prepared in the earth. Those that have been chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. There were 12 and only 3 went on the mountain. Why? Many are called. And he told them, be quiet and don't tell anybody of what you've seen today. Why? Many are called, but they're not ready for the news. Few that are chosen are ready to be developed unto that next level. And that goes right back to where God was showing me. So many people came for signs and wonders and miracles, but were they changed? The majority were not. But the few that were chosen kept hungering after more of him. And they fell in love with him instead of his gifts. They didn't fall in love with what he could provide. They fell in love with the lover and became his bride. That's who you are. Father, only you now can confirm this word into their hearts. And I ask that you would reveal to them the fullness of what you're really occupying through them in this earth, and how much more they will be transformed in the days ahead. And let it be for your glory. And all of God's people said, share some hugs with each other.